Boker Tov Chodesh Tov, good new month to everybody. The Jewish people are likened to the moon because with the moon we see the cycles of renewal, that it diminishes, seems like it's going to go away, and then comes back, which is really a very universal human thing. But we have a particular experience of that in our history. So may this month of renewal that's coming into the celebration of Revelation instigate a new tikkun in all of us, a deeper return to our essence, and a deeper ability to receive the revelation that's coming to us all the time. So there's a story of Rabbi Shmelki, who was one of the disciples of the Magid of Mezrish, Rabbi Dov Ber, who was the next after the Baal Shem Tov, that he came with his brother to the Magid and said, thank you for doing the miracle of expansion. That's not what he said. That's not what he said. But he said actually just the opposite. He said, our sages tell us that we should praise and give thanks for the suffering that comes to us, as well as for our well-being, for our blessing. How can we really do that with sincerity? Prayers are not supposed to be a lie. How can we do that? How can we give thanks for our suffering? So the Magid said, go talk to Reb Zusha. He's sitting in the house of study, smoking his pipe. He'll give you the answer. So they go to the Beit Midrash, they find Reb Zusha, and they put the question to him. And Reb Zusha says, first he laughs, and then he says, certainly you've come to the wrong man, because I've never experienced suffering. And they say, well, first of all, Reb Zusha was poor and had illness. It was very obvious to everyone that this was not a person who had never experienced suffering. So they said, what do you mean by that? We still don't understand. So Reb Zusha said, well, put it this way. Once upon a time, there was a king. And this king wanted to test his subjects. So he put on a big festival in a park. And he brought many, many very precious, very expensive objects from the palace into the park and set them all out at different stations everywhere and invited everybody in the whole kingdom to come and said, you can take anything you want. Choose one thing and take anything you want from what's in here in the park. So people come in, they're checking out all these relics from different countries that were conquered, precious antiques, things made of gold and precious art. And at some point, a kind of a beggar woman, a poor beggar woman comes in and she's looking around and she walks up to the king and says, is it really true that we can pick anything we want? He says, absolutely, anything you want. She says, okay, I pick you. And he says, Mazel Tov, you won the contest. You get me and the entire kingdom. They still don't understand. Okay, we kind of get it. So you're saying because you have Hashem, you have all of the riches of the world, but clearly you don't have all the riches of the world. So what does that really mean? When we do meditation, we have the opportunity to relax the mind and experience ourselves as the space of awareness within which our present moment experience is happening. And that vast field of awareness is inherently whole, complete, rich. It has a natural happiness, a natural joy that emanates from it that's not dependent on any particular things that are in our experience. But as you may know, as you may have experienced, when we move from meditation into daily life and we experience the ups and downs, the successes and disappointments of things, then it's very easy to get fixated on that and to lose connection with that spacious wholeness, which is actually always there. So in order to maintain that connection, in order to be like Reb Zusha, who goes through life even in the midst of suffering and feels like he has everything because he has the divine, then we have to reorient our whole way of approaching everything that we're dealing with in life toward one of living for the divine. So yes, we're doing things to have a certain effect. They can succeed, they can fail, but if the failures in our hearts are dedicated as a service to the divine, they're not coming from a place of trying to get for ourselves, but we reframe, recontextualize everything we think, everything we say, and everything we do as a kind of service, then you're free from that sense of me that gets disappointed or that creates the inner suffering. It's an amazing thing. It's a miracle. When you can start to do that and experience that, then you know what all of those prayers are really about when they talk about God's salvation. El Yeshua Ti. Lo Eftach Velo. How does it go? El Yeshua Ti. Look at that. When I start to say this prayer that I say every single day, not just on Havdalah, it leaves my mind. What does it say in Havdalah? Hine el Yeshua ti. Eftah, there we go. Eftach velo efchad. I will trust and I will not be afraid. El Yeshua ti, the divine is my salvation. There's no fear of anything because everything is received directly from the divine. Everything that happens to us, every challenge that comes to us is received. Okay, this is what Hashem is giving me. So I'm just going to do my best to serve Hashem in whatever I'm doing. And then that whole contracted ego reflex is just undone. It's untied. Tatir tsurura. Untie the tangles. Untie the tangles. So there's a wonderful Mishnah in Pirkei Avot right in the beginning that says, Al tihyu ka'avadim hamshamshin et harav al menat lekabel paras. Don't be like the servant who serves the rav, serves the master, in order to get a reward out of it. In other words, don't be like the people who are picking and choosing one of the treasures in the park. Ela heve ka'avadim hamshamshin et harav shelo al menat lekabel paras. Be like the one who serves the master not to receive a reward. Why? Because just to serve the divine for its own sake is the best reward. That's the whole kingdom. Because that allows you to dissolve the sense of me that creates suffering and to experience the vastness and wholeness of your own being, which is always there. It says at the end of that Mishnah, Vihi morah shamayim aleichem, and let awe of heaven be upon you. So shamayim, heaven, we can understand as a metaphor. It doesn't just literally mean the physical heavens. It doesn't even mean necessarily the some spiritual heavens that are far away where, you know, God lives or something. The heavens are the space of this moment within which everything is happening. So if we lose connection with that space that actually we are, then we're picking and choosing stuff in the park. But vihi morah shamayim aleichem, to be in awe of heaven, meaning to be connected with it, to have that be the basic reality that we're living in, this open space, then we're free. Then we're free. So I'd like to sing those words, not the whole phrase, but just morah shamayim. So that means awe of heaven, which we might also phrase as awareness of awareness, or knowing yourself as the space of awareness through offering everything as a korban, an offering to the divine. So you can do that also as we begin to sing these words, not just meditating with the words and feeling the vibrations, but pointing your heart in the direction of letting the words themselves be an offering, letting them be a prayer, a gift. So the first part goes, Shamayim, Mora. To your heart, exercising that devotional muscle, bringing to mind and letting your mind point your heart in the direction of offering yourself in service to the divine simply by giving attention to whatever is arising in your experience. Now and as we sit together, chanting the word of offering on long out-breaths, Lecha. So deep breath in. Lecha. And bringing left hand to your belly. Giving your presence as a gift, more specifically now, down into your physical body, feeling into your organs, in your belly, in your lower back, feeling downward into all of your lower organs, down, down through your thighs and knees, calves and feet and toes. And shining awareness upward into your lungs and heart, chest, shoulders and neck. Flowing down your arms, feeling awareness all the way down into your hands and fingers. Shining upward into your face, skull and brain, bringing a little smile to your lips, resting awareness on the flow of your breathing, and affirming this body awareness with Na'ase, breathing in. And bringing right hand to lightly touch your forehead with your fingers, aware of the awareness that not only fills your body but also takes the shape of everything you perceive beyond your body. Open and borderless space within which your body is felt and sounds are heard. Vanishma, breathing in. Vanishma. And kissing fingers. Open heart, body awareness, body as the temple of presence, flow of breathing, and open space. All of it is who, all of it is being, existence as it appears now. Atahu, now is it, now is the divine. Thank you. just allowing your mind to vibrate with Atahu. As we sit in silence for about 18 minutes, just gently bringing your mind back to Atahu whenever it wanders. Remembering to continue to offer your awareness devotionally. Serving with presence. And we'll sit for about 18 minutes. Three portals, right hand to your heart, offering presence with Lecha, breathing in. Lecha. And left hand to your belly, body awareness, resting consciousness on the flow of your breathing. Na'ase, breathing in. Na-se. And right hand to your forehead, awareness of the field of awareness itself, Venishma, breathing in. Venishma. Kissing fingers. Atahu. And so these three portals are really something you can connect with anytime. Remember, they help to orient back to this attitude that we were talking about of acting as a form of service. Just bringing yourself back to Lecha. And then Na'aseh, but in the sense of action, just bringing awareness into your present moment action. It doesn't have to be sitting quietly. It can be in what you're doing, Na'aseh, literally. V'nishma, and being aware of the fullness of everything that is the present moment and that is you. This week's Parsha is Bamidbar, beginning the book of Bamidbar. And it begins with Se'u et Rosh, take a census, which literally means to lift up the head. That's the idiom, the Hebrew idiom for taking a census, lift up the head. So in a sense, that's what we're doing. We're elevating the way that we're thinking about how we do things. Ordinarily, unconsciously, there's a tendency just to feel and believe in ourselves as separate entity doing things in order to achieve certain results. But Se'u et Rosh, recontextualize, to see your actions just as a form of service regardless of the outcome. Why? Because the outcome is not separate from that which we are serving. So you might use as an inquiry phrase for this week, what am I serving? or who am I serving, depending on if the divine anthropomorphism works for you or not. It doesn't really matter. The point is the attitude, as opposed to whether you're calling the divine a who or a what. So, thank you so much for coming, everybody. Yeah.